Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We're going to bring in Ross Tucker. Morning, Ross. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I do this every once in a while. What goes through your guys' head when you guys watch Jaden Daniels?
He is spectacular!
The Magic Man! The kid! Jaden Daniels!
He's going to be a superstar. I think he's doing everything right, but I also worry, honestly, about his durability.
Ross, I'm just curious. You asked us a pretty good question. Let me turn it on you. Did the Bears draft the wrong quarterback, in your opinion?
Yes. Yeah, I would say yes. I would take Jaden Daniels 10 times out of 10 over Caleb Williams.
Wow. I don't know, guys.
Barring a catastrophic injury that you're talking about.
I'm not going to let you slander me like that.
How did I slander you?
I did not say that there's going to be a catastrophic injury to Jaden Daniels. Yeah, he's going to have a great NFL career. So can Caleb Williams at one point.
And remember, denial is not just a river.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Dave.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, I didn't know what to make watching that game last night, David. It was a rout, another rout. You couldn't help but almost get on board with the Rams after hearing everything leading up to the game and listening to what everyone had to say and all the thoughts about the wildfires in L.A. and what they're going through. I mean, I just can't believe the Vikings didn't turn up two games running at the end of the season.
Morning, Molly. Yes, I think Monday Night Football didn't deliver on drama, but it did really deliver on a storyline. Yeah, the Vikings were, for the second week in a row, failed to show up, really, and Sam Darnold struggled. But oof. I think America found its team last night for the playoffs. The Rams have become now an easy team to root for. And obviously, for the reasons they played the game in Arizona with the wildfires in L.A., it's inspiring to see how they came through and what they overcame and all those things that have little to do with football. But they looked very good. They were well-coached. Matthew Stafford's great.
They get the ball to open the game, and they get these chunk plays. Like, didn't it seem like they almost scored too fast? It was like almost too easy.
They attacked. They came out, and they were ready to go. When you have a quarterback that you trust like they trust Matthew Stafford, as proven as he is, you are the aggressor, and they made the Vikings have to respond to them rather than the other way around. Brian Flores, you know, he was going to attack the Rams, and Matthew Stafford was ready for that. You know, in the context of how good they looked early, you've got to remember – there's only one team in the NFL that was worse than the Rams in the first quarter, and that was the beloved Bears. The Rams were, I think, went all season only scoring 30 points in the first quarter, and the Bears had scored 20. So they were the second worst scoring offense in the first quarter, and yet last night they came out almost with a renewed sense of purpose. They knew exactly where they wanted to attack, and Matthew Stafford threw the ball down the field.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. You know, there's no Aaron Donald. We know that. Aaron Donald is gone. I don't know if you knew it watching their defense play. Wow. Did they get after the quarterback?
They've got some really good young edge rushers.
They sacked that guy 9 times. Jared Verse with the pick up the ball and run, the scoop and score.
It was 85 Bears-like in terms of –
I'll tell you what.
It really was, because when you talk about historic playoff – efforts by a defense that did make history. It was a record.
Yes, 9
and it
sacks.
Reminded you just how often the quarterback Sam Darnold was under siege, and it was dominant.
23 times. He was pressured 23 times and sacked 9 times. Come on.
So what I said is, they get ready to go to Philadelphia. I think they're an easy team to root for. You love Dan Campbell, you know, you love the Lions story.
Yeah,
Jaden Daniels and the Commanders and Dan Quinn, that's going to be fun going into Detroit. Yeah, the Eagles, well, they're good and everything. But the Rams, now that's a team, when you see McVay handle a postgame the way he did, and in that locker room, the emotion that you saw, it's a really good story. And before the game, you got to give credit to everyone involved. There's too many people to know where to start, but they really handled the pregame.
It's great.
Andre Whitworth.
That was great.
Spoke to the crowd. They had a musical performance, and then the crowd was – the stadium was full.
I couldn't believe it. There were a lot of L.A. people that went to that game, a lot of Rams season ticket holders that grabbed tickets. I don't know how much the tickets cost. I don't know if there was reduced pricing.
I heard that there was reduced
– Yeah.
There were reduced prices, and I knew some people who actually live in Arizona that looked into going to that game. And they said that they regretted it because the tickets were so cheap.
Wow.
And affordable. And I think there's a difference between cheap and affordable. I don't know exactly what they were paying, but it was a reduced rate. And the Vikings fans showed up too. At one point, you remember when Stafford needed to waste a timeout in the first quarter because they couldn't hear the cadence. So because there were Viking fans there, they're mixed in with Rams fans. It was almost like 50-50, but it was a really good atmosphere. And the Rams came through with McVay doing it again with Stafford. Well, that's a really tough combination to beat.
I mean, they won a Super Bowl. Is it 3 years ago? I mean, there's a lot to like about them. Puka Nacua, he's an unbelievable player, right? We know about Cooper Kupp, but Nacua catches everything anywhere near
everything.
Him.
And then he's a threat after
he
catches the ball. He's bigger than you think.
He's like a monster.
Yeah, he's tough to bring down. And those receivers and that quarterback, and then you throw in Williams in the backfield, and he's a threat. It's hard to believe. I know they were banged up, but I kept thinking it's hard to believe the Bears beat this team.
Well, that's by far their biggest win of the year, but
they didn't have the receivers.
Yeah, no receivers. Neither
no receivers. Yeah, that's true. So it's kind of like an asterisk. But you know what? The Bears didn't win very often. So
yeah,
give them their due. That's 1-5.
It's a big win.
It's 1-5. They only won 5
Brandon,
games.
Brandon gives us a kind of a fist, but you know, like a, but more of a, yeah.
But I guess the point being, when you saw the Rams pass through Soldier Field way back in September, did they have the look of a team that was going to win a playoff game?
Well, you know, like we've said many times, that quarterback coach combination is going to beat a lot of people, but no, they did not.
McVay is just so easy to like.
Oh, he's great.
You know, and that was a great coaching matchup, and I felt bad for Kevin O'Connell because so much was made of the job that he did. They won 14 games.
They won 14 games.
And they looked overwhelmed.
They were overwhelmed. They were bum-rushed out of the playoffs after winning 14 games. And they had a chance in Detroit to get home field. And they lose that game, and then I don't know what you call that. They got killed.
It's crazy to think that after all that we are enduring and have watched here in Chicago,
yeah,
that the Bears and the Packers and the Vikings won the same number of playoff games this year.
Yeah, how about that?
Zero.
Yeah, if the Lions get run out.
They could. You never
just
know.
Just saying.
I don't expect that to happen, but the Lions are so banged up defensively.
But that's a lot of one and done in the NFC North.
But last night was a reminder of you never know in the playoffs if a team can get hot and play with confidence and then get that defensive effort. You just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's so much fun. The drama was great.
It's
and
a great game.
It was really
entertaining. It was an overwhelming game, but it was like I found myself like I kind of went into the game thinking I would lean Vikings, but by the time it started, and I think it was the Wentworth speech, there were a lot of contributing factors, but I was kind of, go on, Rams, do it for the people of LA.
But I just thought they were going to show up and not be as mentally locked in as they were.
Oh my God.
And that partly is coaching and maybe organizationally, they just know exactly what buttons to push. But I felt like we are entertained when we see things we don't really expect. And I did not expect the Rams defense to dominate the Viking offensive line, the pass rush, and then make Sam Darnold look like he was seeing ghosts again.
You know, we talked about the Vikings offensive line and the way that the minute they had the big injury, they go out and they get a guy. Like, I mean, I think we had marveled at what the Vikings had done this year to the point where I cannot believe the way they just, and it was literally from the minute the ball was kicked off, you just felt, you could feel, as you say, attack mode. They're getting chunk plays. They scored that touchdown way too easily.
Do you think they can go into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles?
Well, I think if I was, I think the Eagles have a huge advantage by being at home. No question about that. But if I really break down that game, Jalen Hurts
was not good.
No, their passing game was rusty. Now, I don't know. There's a great line in horse racing and handicapping, which is needed the race. You know, you feel like the Eagles needed the game. They just needed to get on the field and they needed to get. But, I mean, the idea of A.J. Brown sitting there reading his little self-help book.
And did you see what happened with that book? The book that A.J. Brown was reading on the sidelines was the number one seller on Amazon yesterday.
Was it really? Everyone wanted to see what
he was reading.
What is it, the formula or what they
it's
call something, it?
It's a motivational book
book about your life.
Right. It's a deep dive into your soul, and he's reading it on the sidelines between series. And now it's the number one seller on Monday on Amazon.
Is that right?
But I think that when you look at what the Rams will want to do against the Eagles, Jalen Hurts will be able to escape that rush or take advantage of those rush lanes or maybe the scrambling more than Sam Darnold was. That said, Mully, if the Rams are this year's team on a mission, it's just, it wouldn't shock me if they go into Philadelphia and play like a team that has a cause. And they will be maybe overmanned because the Eagles have a great offensive line, great defensive line. I think maybe it's wishful thinking. I would like to see that upset. That would be a terrific upset.
The book is called Inner Excellence. Train your mind for extraordinary performance and fullness of life.
Awesome.
It's nice to have people reading that.
You going to get that?
No, I just have other things I got to read. I'm so backed up reading.
That's a great thing to read on the sidelines, though. Why not? Well, better than sticking his nose in the playbook and, I think if they go on cover zero here, we're going to convert this.
If he was targeted more than three times, he might have been paying more attention. I think it was as much as he claims he has it on the sidelines.
You think that because of the lack of targets, he went deep into his soul to find patience?
He was making a statement that I've got to read a book on the side.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, my teammates call it a recipe. That's the first time I heard that y'all got me a camera.
Inner excellence.
All right. Yep. Recipe for success. They won.
So let's see how well
bring it again.
Goes.
Yeah. Bring it again. So that was a lot of fun to watch last night. Not if you're a Viking fan, but I think the Rams gave people who were casual sports fans a team to support throughout the playoffs. Also, it gives the Bears an opportunity now to dive in if they want to interview Brian Flores. Bring him in.
Well, they're going to, right?
Bring him in.
Did his value go down?
That's a great question. I don't think so, Brandon. I don't think so. I don't like this, and I respect the question, but I don't like the referendum on a coaching candidate based on the outcome of a game that he calls from one Sunday to the next.
What about when Matt Nagy had that terrible elimination game?
I remember that. I know, but he wasn't really calling plays.
Well, he was.
That was the time he was calling plays. Yeah. I don't look at what Brian Flores did the last 2 weeks and make me think, oh, that disqualifies him from being a good head coach. The skill set's very different. Would he be calling defensive signals with the Bears if he were the head coach?
I don't know, but I do know that he was outcoached in 2 weeks running. I mean, and that's just a statement of fact. I think Ben Johnson got the better of him and Sean McVay boat raced him yesterday.
I still would feel like if they interview Brian Flores, he would be...
You like him more than...
a legitimate candidate.
Than Mike McCarthy?
Well, that would be a good debate, and we can have it if you wish. If they hired Brian Flores, I would be probably more enthused about and curious about what we're going to see rather than Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, to me, would be a competent, fine choice. He would be a choice that you could say, all right, this is a solid hire, a okay way to respond to years of ineptitude and weeks of incompetence. So you respond by hiring Mike McCarthy. He's got a Super Bowl ring, and he'll bring it to the press conference. But I think that he's capable of running an organization. I don't know that he's going to be the guy that revitalizes a football team or a football city.
See, I think he's more likely to revitalize a football team in a football city than he is to win a Super Bowl. I think that when you talk about a guy who the rap on Mike is that he doesn't win in the playoffs, but he does win in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that gets your organization moving forward and you can win games with him. But I don't know that you feel like you're going to win once you hit the play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that he's... that his reputation is he's going to finish the job. That was the problem
in Dallas. Totally. I feel like, and we'll talk about this today, we got Bobby Belt from Dallas at 825.
Great name.
It is a great name. I just believe that there wouldn't be clamoring, complaining. I wouldn't, you know, pound a fist and shrug my shoulders and throw my hands up. Like, what are they doing if they hired Mike McCarthy? I'd be like, okay, that makes sense to me because it's very much... it's a safer pick. It's not. It's low risk, and I would think that would be better than some of these names on the list that keeps growing.
The list did grow basically by two names yesterday. If you consider Mike, you know, they already were at
Mike and Adam Stenovich.
And Adam Stenovich is the offense coordinator at Green Bay.
So the McCarthy inclusion, or I guess he was already on the list. Last week he was not allowed to talk to the Bears until now.
That was weird.
That was mean.
Was it mean?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Petty.
It might have hurt them as much as it hurt him.
It did.
Because they didn't get a
chance. It was dumb.
Ben Johnson or
They delayed the process in Dallas.
Why do you think that is? Do you think out of meanness?
I think that if we can't work something out, nobody's going to talk to him. We'll show him. It sounds like... from outside, we can talk to Bobby Belt about it, but it sounds like the Cowboys... an intention of working on a deal, and they thought that they could.
I think the Cowboys might have had an intention on working out like a 1-year deal.
Yeah, but Mike McCarthy apparently wanted more years. I don't know if it was 1 year.
I don't either.
It was rumored between 1 and 3.
Okay.
And then he wanted 4 or 5.
Yes.
And it was the length of the contract, not necessarily the compensation.
But they claim they never talked. They claim that they didn't negotiate.
It was bad faith negotiation if you aren't allowing your guy, you're keeping him basically to the end of his contract, which is at midnight tonight, which is today.
Mm-hmm.
Then
midnight last night his contract expired.
You don't let him negotiate, you don't let him talk to other teams, and then you fire him, or then you didn't fire him. It's a mutual parting, but we know what happened.
I've got to ask you this question, and you're going to be frustrated because it really has nothing to do with football. But technically, It's midnight is yesterday, and then the minute you hit, minute you strike midnight, it is then this morning, right?
Midnight Monday.
But it's this morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I always you wonder about the this morning.
You know that I would
morning.
Write it correctly because I would yeah. check it out because just, you're right. I know for years. It's like midnight. When they say midnight Tuesday, no, you're really meaning midnight Monday.
Yes.
Midnight Tuesday
yes.
is
it's
tonight.
Coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming up. Yeah. It's coming up.
But I'm saying like 12:01 is this morning,
yes.
believe it or not.
Tuesday morning, 12:01, Mike McCarthy was a
That's
free
right.
agent.
There you go.
So why is he not having breakfast with the Bears?
I can't believe we're bogged down in this. And it's my fault, and I apologize.
I'm not bogged down in
but
it.
But it's just something.
But I'm amused by it.
Thank you.
Because I know how writers' minds think, because, yeah, you're like, wait, did I just say the right time?
How do you express?
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, regardless of when he became available, Mike McCarthy, to me, is a logical choice for the Bears.
He became available this morning at 12:01.
When he became available, he became, to me, the most logical
yeah,
choice for the Bears.
I agree.
Now, if they were to hire Brian Flores, you know why I would like that and maybe even prefer that? Because it would not be in character for the Bears. Because it would be very uncomfortable for the Bears to hire Brian Flores. Because it would be contrary to the way they typically do business. And I would welcome that at Halas Hall. Because I think they need to embrace that at Halas Hall. They don't do things that are considered bold. Brian Flores would be a bold choice. And it might be a better one. But I don't think it's going to happen because I just don't think they have that in them. I think they're going to look at Mike McCarthy safe. They can sell the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And
competence.
He definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not arguing with you. I like the idea that they become uncomfortable with Brian Flores, and it does mark a difference. But I just. Like, he did not play. He did not coach very well.
No, he didn't.
The last two games. And, you know, in the same spirit, I would say that Sam Darnold has impacted his free agent's salary. Now, there's a team out there that will probably pay him. There are desperate teams out there for quarterbacks. But he, all of a sudden, is no longer the answer that he looked like.
Well, I have two thoughts to that because they're two different things. Number one with Flores, I agree with you that he did not finish the season strong.
No.
I will also remind you that, may not matter, he was calling plays against two of the most dynamic play callers and offenses in the NFL. Ben Johnson and all of those weapons, and I don't know where Ben Johnson starts and the Lions weaponry begins and ends and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you talk about Sam Darnold. That, to me, last night was confirmation that they're going to probably move on.
Yeah, they're going to move on.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
I do understand that.
No, I
It's
do
not
understand.
Fair. Life in the NFL isn't fair necessarily because I think that he won 14 games.
He did.
He's probably he was a Pro Bowl quarterback. But in the highest leverage situation, something you always wonder about, how are you going to max out if you are our quarterback? He showed them that he's not ready for that.
He lost two playoff games at the end of the year.
Essentially, yes.
Right. So, I mean, obviously.
Not alone. Now, he wasn't protected and all that stuff, but he did not show the ability to overcome the kinds of things that you want your franchise quarterbacks to be able to overcome.
Okay, two thoughts on your two thoughts. One, if Brian Flores was outcoached by two guys to end the season, then I think the Bears should hire Ben Johnson or the Bears should find a way to get Sean McVay. In fact, I'll say Sean McVay
number one. I have a response to that. Give me the
guy that won.
Okay.
And then the other thought is about Sam Darnold. You have to conclude, it's not a fair conclusion, but given the way Stafford play, given the way Jared Goff play,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to conclude that they are quarterbacks capable of figuring out what's going on around them and Sam Darnold is not.
That's a fair conclusion, and I think his ability or inability to process information quickly, unload the ball where it needs to be unloaded.
Problem, man.
It's a problem, and I think that's why you move on, because you trust Kevin O'Connell, whoever the quarterback is, to get the most out of him. And, so you think J.J. McCarthy, it's your time.
He might be able
to do that. He can process it, and that's why they drafted him. He may be a risk, but I think you're going to get a greater reward.
I agree.
Going back to your first point, I would quibble a little bit, because you know I've always felt like this. We see examples all the time of NFL teams hiring coaches based on their ability to scheme a game plan and push the right buttons in the course of a game. That, to me, is a coordinator's job. When you're trying to evaluate how they'll be as a head coach, which is a very different job. So I think Brian Flores might actually be a better head coach than he is a coordinator.
He might be, and that's fair. I just think that the two quarterbacks he faced were capable of looking past his disguised defense and understanding what they were facing and making plays. And that happened in those games.
They removed the mask.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not picking on him, and I'm not – I think he's done a great job all year long. I think he's been a big part of their success. But in those two instances, and again, you're talking about experienced veteran quarterbacks.
Elite quarterback play. But I also would love to see the standard he would set. I would love to see the tone he would set.
I agree with you. I think it would be excellent. Like, but I also think that I would love to see somebody that could help get the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, to the point where he could pick a team apart the way Matthew Stafford did last night.
Well, that you just described Mike McCarthy. And much the way that Mike McCarthy coached and won with Caleb Williams' idol, Aaron Rodgers, he might get the chance to get the most out of Caleb Williams and one day in the Bears, in the Bears' dream world, win a Super Bowl together with him, too.
312-644-6767. We already have people who want to check in. But we've got to get to the pick six. We'll do that next. Molly and Haw on the score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What's your take on the Cowboys declining the Bears' request to interview Mike McCarthy days ago, only to let his contract run out at midnight and make him a free agent? Will his availability speed the Bears' process, or will they continue to move at a deliberate pace? Where does Mike McCarthy rank on your list of head coaching candidates?
Yeah, I am curious about the Cowboys thing. I'm just curious. I don't think it was just flat out mean. I think maybe they hadn't made up their mind as to whether or not, you know, when you let a guy go into a walk away year, that's usually not done. You usually would know whether you're going to have him back or not. And if you hadn't made up your mind yet, I think that they should have let him interview with the Bears. I think they should have let him have permission to go ahead and do it. Now he doesn't need it. Now he's available to anyone. But it might have been an advantage for the Bears to get there first. And they still could, but not in the same way. Apparently, New Orleans also interested in the Bears are the two teams that are going to interview him for sure. I don't think his availability will speed the Bears' process. I don't think... You know, you would imagine that, oh, there's a guy available. We gotta, you know, we wanted to talk to him. Let's get that done and let's hire him. I don't think that's what's going on. I think that they've got all these candidates for a reason, that they not sure that there's one guy that they want to hire.
Or seven.
See, it's really a hard thing to talk about without chuckling a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think that they are committed to interviewing all these people. You know, if you wanted to hire Mike Vrabel, you knew you needed to do so because you knew that the Patriots wanted to hire him. So when he came into your building, if he was your guy, you don't let him leave your building. You make sure you make him an offer. You talk about what he needs, etc. They never got to that point with him. So I don't think they're in hiring mode. I think they're in interview mode. Let's put it that way. I think that, they don't know what they're looking for. And as far as where McCarthy ranks, I would put him in the higher tier with guys that have done it before.
You know, not you guys. I agree that they're in the hiring phase, and not you guys in particular. I'm just amazed at all the people pounding the table about all these candidates and the length of time and this and that. If the Bears interviewed four guys and hired a coach, we'd be saying, well, they didn't do their due diligence. They should have talked to more people. We talked about it, and I agree. Like, they should have talked to Bill Belichick. They should have taken the opportunity to talk to Bill Belichick. It's like Pete Carroll, right? Like, they did. Some people thought, well, why in the world would you talk to Pete Carroll? Other people said, you got to talk to Pete Carroll. He's been there and done that. They talked to the guy. We talked about this. You know, when the Chargers may or may not have got it right with Jim Harbaugh, they talked to 15 candidates. 15. And they finally settled on Jim Harbaugh. See, I like, take your time. Like they weren't going to get... As soon as the Patriots fired Mayo, like, Vrabel, to me, wasn't even an option. That was a slam dunk. He was going there. That wasn't going to happen. Where does Mike McCarthy rank? I think you have to have an offensive guy. I think the next head coach of the Bears, because you have to have some continuity with the quarterback. Doesn't mean a defensive guy might not be the better choice, but, you know, God forbid that OC does something good with the Bears offense. Guess what? He gone, and now all of a sudden you got to find a new guy to coach up Caleb Williams. So it's got to be an offensive guy.
Yeah.
So Mike McCarthy, he definitely is. Here's what my guess, if I was a betting man, and I am, my money would be on Todd Monken. That seems very Bears right now. That seems like the guy that the Bears are going to hire for many reasons. No, because he hasn't been allowed to yet, right? Yet, well, they haven't had that opportunity yet.
I think that you're fine with pushing back at the complaints over the scope of the interview process, but the process has no point. I mean, it's excessive. It's unfocused. You don't really know, based on the kind of guys they're interviewing, what exactly they're looking for. So it makes you wonder, what are they looking for? Do they know? And it's fair to question it. This isn't the Chargers. This isn't a team that has maybe earned the benefit of the doubt in their market or in the league. This is the Bears. They don't do football well. They don't hire the right guy. And if you think that's overly cynical, look at the track record since George McCaskey took over as chairman in May 2011. The skepticism is earned and appropriate. So when you add to the mix, and we'll get into the process later, everything is worthy of doubt, not confidence. Jerry Jones was petty. That's all this was about. He was petty in not letting Mike McCarthy talk last week. But you know what? As long as this process has been dragged out, Mike McCarthy, had he been available, would probably still be waiting in the virtual waiting room. So there would be no Zoom for him to click into because there's 19 people ahead of him on the list. Once he gets to that point, if he does indeed interview with the Bears, he will be on that top tier. I think he might even be the front runner. I think he would be the front runner because the Bears will convince themselves that his competence will be something that people can get behind. But I don't know that he would be necessarily my top choice, even though I would understand it. To me, it's still, you can win this whole exercise by hiring Ben Johnson. The outcome would outweigh the process. I don't think that's likely because I do think that Vegas is real. But Ben Johnson, Brian Flores, to me, is still someone's very intriguing. I'm still curious about Pete Carroll, even though I accept the fact that the Bears may not go in that direction. And then I'm at the Mike McCarthy level.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Big's time is 7 this morning. Thomas Brown interviewed Monday for the Bears job. Was that out of obligation or legit interest? Then the Bears added Packers OC Adam Stenovich to a list that now stands at 20. Isn't it fair to wonder what the Bears are doing?
Yes, it is fair to wonder what the Bears are doing. I'm surprised, Dustin, that you're like, oh, well, hey, if you want to go to spring training, go to spring training. Bring in your coach for opening day. That's fine. This is unfocused and excessive. This doesn't have any sort of point to the process. What is the point of the exercise? Do the Bears know what they're looking for? Track record says they're not going to find it. From Mark Trestman to John Fox to Matt Nagy, I'm being dismissed over here if you're watching on Twitch. The Bears haven't earned the benefit of the doubt. So when they add the Packers offensive coordinator, who's really the offensive line coach, doesn't call plays in Green Bay. We know that's the flower. So what exactly does he bring to the party? These candidates are redundant. There's Todd Monken. Yes, great candidate. But there's also Joe Brady. And oh, by the way, they're in line behind Ben Johnson in the list of offensive coordinators that you're interviewing. The defensive coordinators, Aaron Glenn, Anthony Weaver. I mean, there's so many names. There's 20 names. Where's Cliff Kingsbury in that? There's guys that you forget because it's like, oh, geez, Drew Petzing, who's he? Oh, yeah, he's the guy the Bears interviewed first. I don't know if they know. And the fact that it is the Bears, it's worthy of your doubt. But if you want to give them a big bear hug, go ahead, Dustin.
Well, worthy of doubt, sure. But this is also a new group. This is a new group, you know, really, in my opinion, headed by Kevin Warren. It's not necessarily headed. Let's go back a coaching search. Basically, it was like 6, and then they had a final 3, and that didn't work. So they've moved the number from 6 to 20. David, I'm asking. This is what I want. Really, okay. Honestly, want to know.
All right,
do you not want them to talk to Joe Brady?
I want them to talk to Brian Flores and go out and get it. And the whole bottom line for me is I doubt Ryan Poles. He does not come across to me as a strong, decisive leader, and this search underscores all of that.
I agree that he's not a decisive leader, but I think that, you know, they're at the Polish Borgersborg right now. Okay. I like a little taste. You know, I want one cabbage roll. I don't want to order cabbage roll for dinner. I want to taste it and then decide if I'm having a second helping. That's where they're at right now. Okay, they're at Sawa's Old Warsaw. Little Polish smorgasbord for you.
Yeah, I don't know what they're at, honestly. You know, here's my problem with the whole process. Who's the football guy in the room? Is it Poles? Is he the football guy in the room?
Okay. Yeah.
So let's say you get Stenovich in there, and then you say to him, hey, what's your favorite play? What do you consider the best play that you run? And then have the guy break it down, and then you know exactly how to stop it the next time they try to run it. I mean, what if they were doing stuff like that? If they were being like incredibly perceptive and capable, I feel like they're going into this thing and like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I feel like it's going to be these questions. Well, let's see. I'm 73 years old. In 5 years, I'll have handed the team off to this guy that I'm going to bring in with me. I don't have a problem with them talking to a lot of people, Dustin. I just want to know what they're getting out of it. There should be a kernel of information that you can get. You're talking to a guy from the Vikings, two guys from the Lions, and a guy from Green Bay. Shouldn't you get some information in the course of your work? Shouldn't you be able, isn't this an opportunity to get yourself ahead of the game on some of the things you're doing? Look at the guys that you're talking about. It's not like they're looking for a particular type of guy. They're looking for fat guys, skinny guys, kids that sit on rocks. Okay, they're just, it's like, it is the most ridiculous thing ever. What rock do you like? Do you often sit on it? Give me a break. It's too much. At some point, it gets to, if I felt like they were zeroing in either on a candidate or a methodology, I'd be like, all for it. Hey, you know, try these three guys too. You know, their secondary coach is good. Bring him in. I mean, I just don't know that they're getting any information here, and I don't know that they're going to come to the right conclusion. But you're right. If they hire Ben Johnson at the end of this, hey, fair whack.
You don't believe. Next question.
That's the voice of Deion Sanders, with the Colorado coach Deion Sanders now considered the favorite to be the next Dallas Cowboys coach. Do you wonder if the Bears will be one of the teams to interview him?
Yeah, how could they not go to Jerry's apparently already talked to him.
Already talked to
they
him.
They got a pre-existing relationship.
Yeah, of course.
But how could they not talk to Deion? Don't you want Coach Prime in Chicago?
They want to talk to Marcus Freeman. They talk to Matt Campbell. I mean, they keep going to college coaches.
It feels like they're kind of, I don't know what they're looking for, but I think that's the problem. I don't know what they're looking for.
There is no shot that the McCaskies would hire Primetime. No shot. But let's go back to what Coach Swanstedt talked to you guys about, and something that we've mentioned in the update, and I'm sure we'll get into. Like, the Bears stadium. Like, would Deion Sanders help the Bears, you know, star power, splash, get people excited? That would that help a stadium project more than, you know, my guy that I'm betting on to be the Bears' next head coach, Todd Monken, the pride of Wheaton.
What is this with the Todd Monken obsession this morning?
Because, David, here's what I think the listener wants and Bears fans want.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
Okay, they want to know who, you know what they really want? They want to know who Mully and Haw want to be the Bears' next head coach. Not the tier, not the group. Not an offensive guy, not the defensive
that.
Guy.
I think we told you that.
But let's see if I'm listening.
His name is not Todd Monken.
No, I'm not saying it is.
I say hire Ben Johnson.
Okay.
He's the best.
And
guy
I feel
out
like
there.
I
They've
feel like David.
And...
If I think everybody would like Ben Johnson. I think that. But let's say it's not Ben Johnson. Number two, I think for you it's Pete Carroll, David. If I'm listening.
I would definitely think that Pete Carroll would make sense to me.
Okay. That's what I think people, and I'm just saying, I think the Bears are going to hire Todd Monken.
I don't think they've been able to talk to him yet. Ambiguous about that at all. That's the
bottom line. Is who
I want
do we
an
want?
Offensive guy. I want a guy that knows how to, I mean, and honestly, I've said this repeatedly. I'm not sitting in on these interviews. I don't know who these guys, I know them from what I've heard of them and what I've researched, but I don't know them intimately. I want an offensive-minded coach to get the quarterback moving forward. That's what I want.
I'm just imagining Deion Sanders sitting down in the same room, if he were ever to get to that phase, and looking across and seeing George McCaskey ask him questions. Now, that to me is sitcom material, because it's so incongruous. You could never imagine that. You can't see these two things going together. Deion Sanders, I think, could end up being a very effective football coach in the NFL. he would never step foot in the house hall or be invited. I just don't think that would be something that they would consider realistically. Now, the Cowboys, yeah, that makes sense because of the history, because of a lot of reasons. I don't know if that's going to happen either because doesn't Deion want to coach his kid if he goes to the NFL? We'll find out. But the Bears, that doesn't seem, you know, Deion is the different kind of outside-the-box thinking. The Bears are kind of going outside the box and talking to 20 people in a way that is so very bear-like. But they still could end up with the right guy. If I had to hire somebody today, as you asked, Dustin, you would want Ben Johnson because I do think he would make the biggest impact. I just don't think that's realistic as we want to believe it is because I fear that the Las Vegas Raiders, with their well-placed team owner and broadcaster, are in a better position to woo Ben Johnson than the Bears.
You know you're going to ask me questions. What's going on with the Bears, man?
That's Jared Payton. He'll be with you guys at 9 o'clock this morning. How about the Bears making another request for their head coaching search? Packers OC Adam Stenovich. Is this thing out of control at this point, or is it just trending in that direction?
Well, it's out of control. Yeah, I think this is similar to the other question, and I do think that it's there's got to be some clarity soon. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up hiring somebody before they're through the process. Are they really going to interview all 20 guys? They're only 9 into it, and it's January 14th. I suppose there's no hurry. They get everybody done by the NFL Combine. They'll have a coach by then, won't they?
NFL Combine? Okay, we got to have one by then, no doubt about that. Hey, listen, you know, a little Packers stink, a little Matt LaFleur stink. Get some intel. Bring him in behind enemy lines. Get some intel on the Packers who have basically owned you, Bears, until, you know, a game that the Bears finally won in kind of weird fashion. But I have no problem with them talking to this guy. I'm going to stay consistent.
Yeah, they're talking to people in the division. I just don't know if they're getting information out of it, right? I mean, that's my only fear, is that they're talking to all these people, but they're not optimizing what that means. So, I mean, great, Dustin. Interview everyone. You know, get as many people in here as humanly possible. And then ask them all, like, hey, what is it like to coach football? Tell me something about football. Like, you know, just learn what the game is. I mean, shouldn't you be well beyond that? Shouldn't you be able to kind of pick apart some things? I don't. The more people you interview, the more you look like you don't know what you're doing. I'm not saying limit it to 5 people. There's nothing wrong with bringing in 10 people and interviewing. 20 is a little bit much. Let's be honest. You're not going to hire 20 people. If you got a job, you got an idea what you're looking for, you know what it takes. So, you know, you want to talk to 10 people? I got no problem with it. And don't tell me how many people other teams have talked to. I don't care.
It's not a job search when you talk to 20. It's a research project.
It's a research project. Yeah, this is football. This is how to coach football from all different levels. Now is our special teams candidate. Give me a break.
Different question on a different topic.
That is the voice of Mike Florier. He's here at 844 with Jeff Passan reporting that the Cubs are not one of the finalists for Roki Sasaki. What does that do to the Cubs offseason? Do they need to go out and get another star? What's the next move, Jed Hoyer?
Yeah, this is a good question. It says, do they need to go out and get another starter? So, you know, is it pitching? Are they going to trade a pitcher? Is that what is behind some of this stuff? I was bummed when I heard that Roki wasn't coming. I honestly thought that Shota Imanaga was kind of, you know, not only a great player and a fun guy to watch and a great welcome to Chicago, but he's also chief recruiter. I thought that was a great idea, and I thought I understood, you know, his personality strong enough. I just think that people want to be someplace where they feel they're connected to their home. And you know, if you're on the West Coast, you're probably, you know, able to get back quicker. I don't know about the Toronto thing. I don't know what that – it's down to three teams, and it is, you know, San Diego, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays. And I don't know that I understand the Blue Jays being a finalist for Ohtani. And remember all those reports, the plane
yeah.
in the air?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand that. I really just don't know what the connection is. But I think that the two California teams are probably closer to Japan. It makes sense. I really stopped caring about Roki the minute he opted not to come to Chicago. So if he doesn't want to be with the Cubs, I don't really care where he winds up. He'll probably wind up with the Dodgers because they get everybody. But I think the Cubs need to get another starter, and they need to get another option at third base. And I get it. It's Matt Shaw, and he's been doing really well, and everybody says he's already in camp, and he's looking great on the hot corner. Make sure you got a professional player there, too, with him. Just so you've got cover for yourself and for him.
Disappointing to hear. At one point, I felt there was a strong possibility. And now that we have this list of three, maybe four teams, it's just anybody but the Dodgers, right? Anybody but the Dodgers. So now the Cubs need to, so they were willing to spend the money on Sasaki, and part of that would have dipped into what they were saving by not having the first baseman, center field, right fielder, designated hitter, Cody Bellinger anymore. So spend that money. There is still a good list. Go buy a power arm closer before CubsCon, which starts on Friday.
I don't think the problem with Sasaki was ever money. I don't think that was he was going to be very expensive necessarily compared to other things. But I do think the Cubs need to do something else. Kyle Tucker was a great trade, and then Cody Bellinger left. So it's basically Tucker replacing Bellinger, and you can argue that's an upgrade. And you'd be right, but what else are they going to do to make them more than an 83-win team? Didn't Craig Counsell set the bar at 90? He went a 90-win roster. This is not a 90-win roster right now. I don't think that's out on a limb too far. This is not a 90-win roster right now as you look at it. They'll have Cubs convention. Everyone will be happy to see Kyle Tucker and celebrate Pat Hughes and welcome Sammy back. But I'd be really excited if they got another starter or star or whatever you do, whatever you get, but you need somebody to make you more legitimately the favorite in the NL Central, because you should be. So Sasaki can go to wherever he wants to go. If it's not the Cubs, I really don't care. I don't really, if he goes to the Dodgers, it's just going to be another guy. What do they have, like 8 starting pitchers now? They have everything in LA. So he'll have to be the rookie of the year somewhere else.
Before we go to the first part of the question, what made you ask that second question?
With the Pelicans and Zion Williamson in town to play the Bulls tonight, Williamson again in the news for the wrong reasons. Is he the kind of player you'd consider worth pursuing in a deal? Remember when Zion was as the Cooper Flag of college basketball? Is he a cautionary tale about longing for the right draft pick?
I just remember the night he was drafted, and there was so, and the night of the draft lottery, and there was so much conversation and so much excitement about the possibility that Zion Williamson might be at one point maybe coming to Chicago, or every team had that sort of fascination, and he has been disappointing. A lot of it's of his own doing. And so when he was at Duke, I'm not sure any of us saw this coming, this kind of disappointment. There are differences that you could spend now until the end of the show talking about with Cooper Flagg, but it is a reminder that as much as we talk about And people write about the fact that Bulls have to pick a lane and they want to get into the draft lottery because of who they're going after and the protected pick, it's still, there are no guarantees when you talk about draft picks. There's no guarantees in anything. So I do think we spend a lot of time wanting the Bulls to be bad, and wondering why they would bother to try to be good. And Zion Williamson in town is a reminder that it doesn't always go the way you want it to go. And so this lusting over prospects and draft picks sometimes is not the way to go. And it changes everything about the way you view seasons and games, and every sport is the same thing. It's like, well, are they winning too much? Well, that's the way things are these days. And I guess that's the reality of pro sports. But it's something to think about when you see Zion out there, if you see him out there tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see if you see him. He was spectacular at Duke. And I don't know if you guys got to watch this. It was a lot of sports this weekend. But I did get into the Notre Dame-Duke game on Saturday early. And boy, is Cooper Flagg impressive. And I think the Bulls should be doing everything they can to be in a position to get a Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, no, here's the problem, is you can measure all sorts of things with someone, but you can't measure their competitiveness, right? Can't measure their heart. But I mean, you can get a physical measurement. But you obviously don't know how much they care about the game. If you were to sit down and talk to Zion Williamson, between the two of you, you would probably care more about his career than he does. That is just that's the only conclusion you can make when you see a guy come in, suffer through injuries, not able to play most of the time. Why would you trade? Why would you want anything to do with him? I don't understand. Because, it was so cool that time in college when he blew out of his shoe. Boy, you ever see that thunder dunk? I don't think he really wants to be Zion Williamson. He's not doing anything that makes me feel like his career really matters to him. He's not in shape. Hasn't been in shape in the league. He just doesn't seem to care. And I don't think I want guys like that on my team. Do you? Who would want a guy like that on their team? It doesn't make any sense to me at all that you're talking about, you might be able to get Zion. Yeah, I mean, theoretically, but does he want to play? Does he care at all? Does he give a damn about his career? It's a very important piece of information. If you don't have that, if you don't have any kind of commitment or competitiveness, move on. It's crazy. It's crazy when guys throw away their talent like that. All right, we got the extra point next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
With last night's Vikings-Rams game, the last of wildcard weekend, how many teams do you believe have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl? How many teams look better than expected?
Well, I think the Rams fall into that category immediately, and maybe even the Commanders in the NFC. When you look at the teams left in the AFC, I don't know that all four have that capability, but it's hard to disqualify or discount the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. So that provides the drama. I think you have three teams that, in those respective cities, they believe they can celebrate a Super Bowl this year. I'm not inclined to disagree. Baltimore was my pick over the Lions. I think Kansas City, you got three-peat going there with Patrick Mahomes, a consummate competitor, and all of their history and pedigree and legacy. And then the Bills. When you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. So those three teams in the AFC are legit Super Bowl contenders. And I think they might even be more legit than any team in the NFC. I think the Super Bowl winner's coming from the AFC this year. The Lions and the Eagles, you look at as being viable contenders. The Lions, if they were healthy, I think it would be an easier conversation. They're not, so I can't go there. I have legitimate doubts about the Lions and their defense. And then the Eagles, I have legitimate questions about how their offense is functioning with a compromised Jalen Hurts. But I will include them because of the respect for the lines of scrimmage, respectively, and how they are so good on both sides. The Sirianni factor probably makes me disqualify them. So if I were really pushed, I'd say four teams are left. that legitimately could win the title. And I think the winner will come from the AFC.
I think it's 6 of 8. I think the only two right now that I would definitely cross off the list are the Texans and the Commanders. I don't think they have any shot winning against the number one seeds on Saturday. So I think 6 of 8. And David, I think you made a really good point earlier. Like, the Rams are a team. If you don't have a team with a rooting interest right now, the Rams are a team that are easy to get behind and cheer on.
Yeah. You know, I think it's amazing that Buffalo and Baltimore are playing as early in the playoffs as they are, right? This is a big game coming up here. I would say Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore all could win. Detroit could win. The Eagles could win. I think you're probably right. It's probably AFC. But I think the Rams now are an interesting team because before the playoffs started, I thought Minnesota. Before the year started, I thought Green Bay. Both teams eliminated already. So I think that's fascinating when you get early outs, 14 wins, and you're run out. And that they didn't just lose. They got absolutely beaten. And that makes the Rams a very interesting possibility. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes moving forward. I can't wait to see the games this week. I think really it'll be a lot more. There'll be a lot more edification out of these games than the opening round. Always is.
Yeah, that's the fun part. And I don't know that there will be a surprise like the Rams. And I do feel like there was a surprise.
So. Yeah.
If there is, then it will be a bigger one because we're not expecting it.
Like at the beginning of the year, Houston, if you told me Houston is ready to make a Super Bowl run, I'd be like, wow, really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but they came back to earth a little bit.
No, they came way back down to earth.
Yeah.
But they won.
They did win.
Still alive.
They won playing at home. I think that benefited them as well.
Yes, I agree.
So the other teams, I just think, are in a different class.
I agree.
And with due respect, I do think it's largely because of the quarterback play.
Yep.
You know, C.J. Stroud began the season in that same category, top five kind of quarterback. I don't think he had that kind of season. So when you see Lamar, you see Mahomes and Josh Allen, and then the fourth one is C.J. Stroud, it's easy to say which one doesn't belong.
Yeah, I agree with you. All righty, we got your calls next, 312-644-6767. We need to pay a little attention to what was said yesterday regarding the Bears, the idea of the Michael Reese site
as a
more viable one now.
We'll touch on that.
State money. We should
touch on that. It's a good point.
Mully and Haw on the score.
And one of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. That is the voice of Kevin Warren, Bears president, CEO, and he is talking about building.
Well,
he's talking about building a stadium.
It's his number one job. Now, he's in the midst of another job that's pretty important, finding a head coach. But when his job is on parallel tracks, the other duty, obligation, his primary purpose, the stadium project, had a good day on Monday.
Can you believe it? That's the most noise. The biggest change we've heard since they started this project. The
biggest positive change.
That's what I meant.
The biggest positive change we've heard. I agree with that because what we know is that Illinois House Speaker Chris Welch, he told Fox 32, I believe, that there could be infrastructure help. There would be monies available, state funds, to aid a project at the Michael Reese Hospital site.
Yes.
There would be $466 million of surplus money from the state. Who knew there were $466 million worth of surplus money? Somehow they found it. But this is consistent, Mully. I think all along, legislators have basically said they want to see the Bears contribute their share. They aren't against necessarily helping with the infrastructure, which I think a lot of lawmakers feel like that is the state's obligation or responsibility. I don't know how much of the other you know, how much of the other millions or billions of the project would come from state money. I wouldn't think much, but I think this is definitely a positive development, because also it includes the perhaps private investment in the area because of who owns the land. And I think that's what's interesting as well.
So the Michael Reese Hospital was closed in 2009. Okay, it's 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the revitalization of that area is important to the city, important to the state. And that's a different thing than trying to rebuild a stadium on the lake, on the lakefront. It is a different setting. It's on the it's opposite. It's kind of across the highway from where the McCormick place, you know, the revitalized McCormick place is. And, you know, I get it. There's a couple of trains down there.
There are challenges with the location.
I understand
that. But they're also with support from the owner of the current site, Far Point Development. There seems to be an indication that this would be part of a redevelopment project in an area of the city that frankly needs it.
It would be a wonderful thing. And I think it's different than tearing down a building that already exists and building a building next to it and letting the column stand.
You'd be inviting a lawsuit also on the lakefront, which you're avoiding now.
Yes.
If you go in this direction, and I guess that's still a big if, because they do own their Arlington Heights property still. And there might be people who look at that certainty and this may be uncertainty and think, well, it's a better option at Arlington Heights. But we do know this. Kevin Warren is hell-bent on staying in the city. And that's his vision.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the lack of a vision with the coaching search. This is much different. Kevin Warren has been consistent with his vision and, frankly, his presence since he arrived, wanting to keep the Bears in Chicago.
Yeah, and he wants to keep them where they're at, basically. Build right.
But this would be, to him, I think,
this would be
a reasonable
enough.
Compromise.
I think this is a reasonable
compromise. Half a billion dollars in infrastructure funding from the state would be a way that it would be a public-private partnership in that way.
It would be so much better. And I mean, with all due respect to Arlington Heights and the property out there, and it is beautiful, and I've spent many a day of my life at the racetrack. It was nothing for us to jump on the train, get out there, and really enjoy ourselves at the racetrack. You get off, and basically you can enjoy a nice they used to call it like Suntory Sundays or something, where you go in and they would have some racing and they'd have a nice party going on. Outstanding time. But that's gone.
So yeah, it's gone.
I can't get it back.
It's good development yesterday for the Bears in the project.
Yes, I think it's super cool. I'm now you got me on board, right? If you're going to build a stadium in a place where you can revitalize a neighborhood and change the look of the city, let's go. All right, we got Biggs time next. Mully and Haw on the Score.